for Friday, November 30th, 2018. You're listening to the Deep Dive Special Edition. I am, of course, Rich Fan. Typically, this is a live cast, but we're going to do a VIP special edition because my day job allows me the ability to witness the ACC Championship this weekend. So, as a result, I'll be out of town and on a bus somewhere in picturesque Charlotte, North Carolina, by God. Woo! During the time that the regular deep dive is scheduled. So, I decided rather than letting y'all go a week without some deep diving, I'd give you a deep dive special edition that's a little truncated, but still packed with a lot of information. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about an area that's near and dear to my heart. But before I do that, I want to give you a heads up that at the end of the month, in December, I'm going to be doing an end of year show. And I'm going to have a couple of my favorite co-hosts on. And we're going to go in a roundtable fashion on some of the biggest issues of the year and what they're looking forward to next year. So definitely start sending your questions in for that. You can do it most successfully by sending it to me by email, and that would be pwtdive@gmail.com. That's pwtdive@gmail.com. So, like I said, this week is going to be a little bit of a deep dive special edition, so I'm going to talk about a few issues that have been standing out to me in the last few weeks, not necessarily in the current event world of wrestling, but I figured with the conversations I've had earlier this week on Radican Worldwide with Sean, the East Coast cast with Travis and Cam, I figured I'd talk a little bit about some independent wrestlers that may be a little bit affected by this upcoming WWE finger snap motion, and also talk about, like I said, a subject that's near dear to my heart, and that would be, if you remember when we talked about Survivor Series a few months ago, I mentioned how I like the mismatch or the mishmash. Man, that's a hard thing to say. The mishmash of a good opposites attract tag team. And I cited the 95 Survivor Series where it was Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Ahmed Johnson, and British Bulldog, I want to say. But you know what I'm talking about, guys. So, first thing I want to talk about is Ring Comp Mixy Mixy. And you can see these matches on Progress Wrestling and WXW. Demand Progress at pivotshare.com. And if you search WXW on demand, you'll be able to get to the WXW site. I'm a big fan of the Calamari Thatch Kings, which is a combination of Chris Brooks of CCK and Timothy Thatcher of Ringkampf. They had several matches during the Thunder Bastard Tag Series in Progress. You can check them out leading to Hello Wembley. But I want to talk tonight about their Gangstanator-esque appearance in WXW's World to Broken Rules 2018. They wrestled Ilya and Falter of also Ringkampf fame. And if you get a chance, watch this match, because the dynamic of seeing Chris Brooks, again, attempting constantly to do the Ring Comp arm behind the back deal and getting rebuffed at every turn, coupled with the outstanding wrestling between the four men, Ilya Dragunov, if you haven't seen him yet in WXW or Progress or anywhere else in the Indies, I would highly suggest you do so. He's super talented. He is one of the gentlemen that was mentioned in the WWE Germany workout. So if you don't see him now, you might watch him on NXT Germany. But tonight's not for that. It's for giving you information about these great wrestlers. I would also recommend their tag match at RPW back in September. It was CCK versus Ringkampf in that case. And again, this is going to be something where, because of Walter, you're not going to see a match like this. If he's signed up, you're not going to be able to see him, so get it while you still can. I think going back to the WXW match, one of the highlights for me is when a tag team has their own established thing, and then you start to add a tag wrestler. For instance, I'll go back to the Gangstanator example. You had the typical Malay / Psycho constant frantic insanity that was a gangsters match. And then you had the violence and martial arts savvy of an eliminators match. So when the Gangstonators, which was the combination of Cronus and New Jack, was formed, you still had New Jack's insanity, but then later on you had Cronus, you know, with a couple more pounds on him, closer to Chris Hero than, say, Aleister Black. And he did a pretty good job of just brawling like New Jack, but then adding in his 450, doing his martial arts. It was a really good team. Same thing with the Calamari Thatch Kings. You have two wrestlers. You have Timothy Thatcher, who, if you haven't seen him, you can look on Evolve. You can look on any of the European promotions now, because his style of wrestling definitely has caught on, and his attitude has definitely caught on with them. And then when you have Chris Brooks, much like his CCK counterpart, Jonathan Gresham, his ability to twist and contort his opponents is something that's a joy to watch. But then he's also a big old piece of crap, and he does things like giving you a loogie to the ear and with a wet willy, rather, and then just being an absolute pissant. You just want to punch in the throat. That makes it so much more fun when you have him doing his shenanigans and Timothy Thatcher trying to keep him on the straight and narrow and stick to a pure wrestling background. And then on the other side, when you have CCK and Reinkampf going up against each other, then you really just have scumbaggery versus wrestling's finest. And so the RPW matches, while it isn't as fun and hard-hitting as you see in the WXW Road to Broken Rules 2018 match, I think the RPW match is a better exhibition of what those teams do when they're at their absolute best and they're not kind of playing up the bonus footage, if you will, that one would have when you have the established tag teams being mixed and matched. So I would definitely recommend you see those shows, seek them out. If you need, by all means, hit me up on Twitter and I'll give you some more information. And I also want to talk about, speaking of dream tag teams and tag team Hall of Fame switcheroos, I'm going to talk about the Dream Team. If you've listened to the deep dive, you know I'm a huge fan of Stokely Hathaway, and his Dream Team was one of the biggest things that pulled me into Evolve Wrestling with their Catch Point feud, and then ultimately him absorbing Catch Point and becoming their manager. Well, Stokely's taken that act to the rest of independent wrestling, and I've enjoyed watching him, particularly in Beyond Wrestling, because he's done a good job not only of being the leader of the Dream Team, with his first lady, Lady Faye Jackson. He's added a relative newcomer in MJF to his stable, and having him play off of what had been his number one draft pick, so to speak, Jonathan Gresham. Again, Jonathan's back. Has been a really fun thing to see play out. And so for this next tag team, dream team, mix, insanity match I wanted to discuss, it goes to, again, if you search for Beyond Wrestling, it's on powerbomb.tv, Beyond Welcome Home Night 2. There was supposed to be a tag match between MJF and Jonathan Gresham, so basically the numbers 1 and 2 in the Dream Team, against Father Matt Tremont and Nick freaking Gage. For those of you who don't know Nick Gage, at some point I'm going to do a deep dive on him, because it's fascinating that a man can go from CZW death matches to prison and then come back and become such a dynamic character. I don't want to say wrestler, because it's unfair to him, because he's a good wrestler, but it's more than just his wrestling. It's just his entire persona screams, I'm a bad MF-er and I'm going to jack you up. So when you look at him, heck, when I was in New Orleans, he was on my flight back to Pittsburgh, and there was a guy who was gonna say, well, I left him alone, because as you guys know, I'm not the type, if we're in a public setting like the airport, dinner, stuff like that, I leave people alone because I figure if I was in the same situation, unless it's someone that knows me, it's kind of awkward, but, you know, that's me. Your mileage is going to vary, especially when you have someone who's gone to jail for armed robbery or bank robbery. I'm not going to mess with that dude outside of his regularly scheduled appearances. But he's in Chikara now. I watched, thanks to a friend of the deep dive, innocent Isaiah Santera, who also came back this week, and I'll talk about that toward the end of the show. I was able to go into a Powerbomb by TV rabbit hole, which ended up with me watching the tag match of MJF and Jonathan Gresham versus Nick Gage and Father Matt Tremont. However, that was not to be. Due to injuries to Matt Tremont, as well as supposed injuries to MJF, it turned into a handicap match of Jonathan Gresham and Stokely Hathaway versus Nick Gage. I enjoyed this so much. One, you have to look at Stokely Hathaway's pants. Those pants are my dream. I even joked with him on Instagram. The match was good, but getting through that match in those pants, 10 out of 10 difficulty. Because the swag was on a million with those pants. He looks like sleeping pants that one would buy that were like a little bit fuchsia with some polka dot type action going and just enough bagginess that you feel like they could have been made by JNCOs.
Hey, if you're a fan of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which you obviously are if you're listening to this right now, check out Solomonster Sounds Off. It's a weekly show covering all the latest news in the world of wrestling, from WWE to Lucha Underground, New Japan, and everything in between. Plus, listener Q&A, rankings, and more. Check it out in iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or download directly from thesolomonster.com.
Anyway, you get to the match, and I enjoyed this because Stokely, as I've said before, he's an outstanding wrestler. No, I'm sorry, he's an outstanding manager. But as a wrestler, he does such a good job of playing the Bobby Heenan as an older wrestler role. He bumps, he gets thrown around, he's scared, he does the right time to tag himself into the chagrin of Jonathan Gresham, who is telling a story over the course of a match that he's increasingly become tired of being the number two in Dream Team to MJF. And so anytime Gresham has the upper hand with Mr. MDK himself, Nick Gage, he'll get tagged out by Stokely, and then Stokely would attempt, I will loosely call it attempt, to put Nick Gage in wrestling holds, and when they would fail, he would tag back in Jonathan Gresham, who would have to continue the stretching. This continued until the point where Jonathan Gresham got sick of it, and while he's talking Stokely through how to do holds, which is great. He finally gets tired of it and just leaves. And so that leaves Stokely by himself as the legal man against Nick Gage. And if you thought that Nick Gage beat the ever-loving tar out of Stokely Hathaway, you, sirs, madams, and anyone in between in this wide, wide world of sports we call pro wrestling, you're right. He whooped the tar out of him, as Granny would say on the Beverly Hillbillies. However, I did not anticipate Thomas Sharp, who was known better, if you know Blaster McMassive, tag partner Flex Rumble Crunch, and I feel like I'm contractually obligated to say both Blaster McMassive and Flex Rumble Crunch whenever I can, because those are outstanding, ridiculously awesome names. Anywho, Thomas Sharp showed up as the latest addition to the Dream Team and beat down Nick Gage to the point where Stokely Hathaway pinned him. My favorite moment after the match was having Stokely gassed and beaten and just utterly defeated roll after victory to the bottom of the rope and indicate that he needed Thomas Sharp to carry him out of the ring. Now, this was great because once he carries him out of the ring, he's still middle fingers to the crowd. He's still celebrating and acting as if he won the Super Bowl, which for me is a great hallmark of a heel because he's acting in no way as if he did not deserve what he just got. So, again, this was on powerbomb.tv, Beyond Welcome Home Night 2. I would also recommend it because while the while the pinfall is occurring, the cameras panned out enough to see that the bro of bros himself, Matt Riddle, is coming in to Beyond either from somewhere else or seeing friends. And because the location's a bar, essentially, he comes in and he's being welcomed by people as the three count's being counted. So it's just one of those wild, funny things with indie wrestling you just always have to appreciate. And so those three matches are pretty good recommendations for me as far as watching this genre, which is like tag teams that you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't have expected, one, being together, and two, being so good together. Before I get out of here, I do want to answer a couple of mailbag questions. And as always, if you're interested in sending something to the mailbag, I was able to throw it on my Twitter that the situation was what it was, and so I have a few. I do want to thank my buddy Gillen, who sent one in. It was a repeat of a similar theme, but I think it's a good one to talk about in this current wrestling landscape. And I have a couple of tweets, so I'm going to dive right in. So Gillen writes, do you think the idea of the power of love is greater than the power of hate storyline that occurred in New Japan would be well received in the WWE or US in general, not even taking into account the progressiveness of it, since the love being discussed by the Golden Lovers, Golden Elite, might not be attached to a relationship, or it's strictly being heteronormative for that matter? Personally, I don't. I feel like it's akin to what you might see in a JRPG video game, which I think is why it works better in Japan. Thanks, Gillen, for that, and I agree. To some regard, I think there can be the power of love over the power of hate. I always think about the silliness of the Hollies and the Dudleys feud when Spike and Molly had that moment when everyone was dead and the Montagues and Capulets, Hetfields, McCoy, you insert your families here. I think it can be done, but I think the power of love and the dynamic way they played it over the last few years between Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi is something that would be a little bit more nuanced for current WWE. I think NXT could pull it off. And I think it's clear, especially when you compare how NXT handles storylines compared to WWE. I mean, I think there's not as much of a sledgehammer-like approach, pardon the pun or the word choice, in NXT as opposed to WWE. I feel like the power love versus the power hate in the WWE on the main roster would evolve into what was the John Cena, you're not going to rise above hate, you're going to give in to the darkness storyline between him and Kane when Kane had the Death's Head mask instead of his regular Kane mask on top of his Kane mask, and it was just really weird. I think in the indies, I mean, obviously, we saw part of this play out in Ring of Honor, so I think it would work. In NXT, I could see it being a situation like, look at the current deal with Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. If you had, for instance, a scenario play out where those two start to align with each other again, and it's basically heel DIY. I think it's the other way around. I loved you enough that when I forced you to hate me, you finally gave in to your darkest impulses and realized through that I loved you more than I ever could as a heel now than when we were faces. And I think that would be a really interesting story to play out. I think ultimately that would be a nice little icing on the top of the Ciampa Gargano feud, but you know, that's me spitballing. Anywho, thank you very much for that, Gil, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Moving on, let's take a look at the next one. Okay, so someone apparently... Oh, hey, there we go. Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. I now follow you on Twitter. Someone sent me Ryan's address and with an email just to ask about how awesome it is that he's doing this and the Observer, and every other call-in show. I love it. Personally, I think, and this would be an aside, and I'll go back to the regular questions in a second. I think it's awesome that I can be a member of the Torch family and work with folks like Mike Sempervivi or now Alan, who used to be with The Observer, and it not be weird, or Todd Martin. I love that fact because it isn't, at no point do I feel like Wade or Bruce or Dave or Brian Alvarez or anyone else on that side or our side treats it as if it's, again, Hatfields, McCoys, Montagues, Capulets, Coke, Pepsi. It's like everybody's can eat. Everybody can eat. So because of that, when I get to collaborate on the deep dive with Mike Sempervivi and we talk about Japanese wrestling or we go 87 minutes because I'm long-winded, he's long-winded, and you put us together, and God help, you know, anyone that's conscious, because as you hear from the East Coast cast, if I'm put in a situation where it's a little bit later in the evening, I don't really survive that well. I'm old, or getting old, you know, whatever. It's fine. But anyway, I think that Brian calling in, Ryan calling in, I think Brian, 28-year Torch VIP. The day I hear him on Wrestling Observer Live will be the day my head explodes because that'll be worlds colliding. But I think the biggest thing is fandom. All of us are enjoying pro wrestling in our own ways. And that's what really the biggest thing about the deep dive is for me. I like talking about these issues. I like discussing them with you. Like I said, hit us up, pwtdive@gmail.com. You can hit me up at @rich_fan. It's been a minute since I did the r.deuce. But we try to provide this content, hashtag content, to you because I feel like if you're paying whichever tier you're paying currently for your Torch VIP subscription, if you want to hear Todd Martin, you're going to do it. If you want to hear Bruce, Wade, Sean, Jason, Zach, Sean, other Sean, and Dominic or the fun pokes talking about the wrestling podcasts and all the other fun things we have here at the Torch, I would be a fool not to try to provide some fun off-the-beaten-path things like Alan. Alan can speak for probably 2.5 hours by himself about a subject of wrestling. I usually prefer to have someone to bounce off of, but I think over the next half hour we've done a pretty good job of talking about some of the things I'm interested in, giving you some insight into some wrestling promotions and some matches you want to check out outside of the beaten path in terms of WWE at large. And so I'm going to turn to some of my final questions here. Let's take a look. All right, bear with me, folks. Pays to have these things pre-loaded. Oh, okay. I don't feel comfortable saying this name because it's kind of awkward. I would say, yeah, if you have an email, just pick a regular email. Don't go with something that's like an anonymous kind of inappropriate email, but that the question's fine. That the email name isn't. Listener writes, can you explain why it's okay to play off Roman Reigns' illness on Raw, but it isn't okay to play off of anything currently going on in the McMahon family? I mean, thank you for the emailer. It's pretty straightforward. The McMahons and the McMahons, they're on high. I always liken it to how Bruce says they're on Mount Olympus. They're the pantheon. We are but mere mortals, and you know everyone else's dirt's out there to play. I think my biggest issue with the current situation is it's weird for all the complaints about Roman, myself included. Now that he's gone, you feel the void. Because I argued with Travis about this on the East Coast cast, an hour of Corey Graves was just too much. And then having Seth Rollins first be the defender of Roman and his leukemia battle, and now it's turned into a basic, I think this town smells like poop and we're going to yell at it, blah, 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 between him and Dean. It's just weird. It's really weird. It's really tasteless. And it's one of those things that makes people not want to show a non-wrestling fan what wrestling's all about. So thank you, emailer. Find a better name. Get a better handle. Please and thank you. And with that, I think we're going to be at the end of our journey, folks. I'm going to try to update as I can throughout the weekend with some fun matches or some fun clips that you can find on my Twitter feed at @Rich_Fan pertaining to some of the people I mentioned today, pertaining to CCK and or Ring Conf and or Calamari Thatch Kings, or definitely I want to give some Stoke Hathaway love and something of that nature, Crab Rangoon, things of that nature. But yeah. I'm going to wrap this puppy up and send you on your way. Next week will be same bat, regular bat time, regular bat channel. So that is, of course, Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. It should be that way for the entirety of December and, you know, other than when we have little interludes like this. If Pitt makes the ACC championship again, all bets are off. But with that in mind, I want to thank you for listening to this. If you have any tips, if you have any ideas of shows you'd like to see me do in the new year, I welcome them. As I said, shoot me an email, pwtdive@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter @Rich_Fan. Until next time, this is Rich Fan saying thanks for your time and keep diving into something new. Challenge yourself, push yourself beyond your limit, go plus ultra, and see how far you can surprise yourself. I enjoy y'all. I hope you enjoyed this, and take care.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership, and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Progress Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.